This is on page 808. And Perek Yud, Pasik Gimel. Okay, again, Perek Zechariah, Treasar, Zechariah, Perek Yud, Pasik Gimel, Al Horoim, Horapi, upon the shepherds has my anger been kindled. The Al Ho Atudim, Efkoid, and upon the word Atudim means the designated ones. Okay, let me mute everyone. We have some background sound here. Mute, okay. The Al Ho Atudim. What is the word Ho Atudim? Over here, it calls Atudim, means according to the Mishnah, it means the males, the male goats. Hazachorim min ho'izim v'yomar al hasodim b'derech sheila. It refers to the princes. It refers to he's calling the Atudim means the princes. I always thought the word Atudim means the designation. Let's see. But right over here, it says that Atudim means the male. In this context, it refers to the male goats, and it's a borrowed term according to the Mitzudos Tzion. And we are referring here to the princes. We have also for two different sets of leaders, the shepherds and the head of the flock. The goats, Chazal tells us, the goats go in the front. Goats have a chutzpah. The chutzpah is they jump ahead. And in this context, that's what it means. It means over here, the people who are the leaders of the Jewish people, Kadosh Baruch Hu over here says over here, I'm going to punish them. Efkoid, I will visit them with punishment for their sins, for misleading my people. Why? Ki fakad Hashem tzavakos es edra. Hashem has remembered his flock. Who is his flock? The pasuk explains. It tells us as Beis Yehuda, v'sam oisam. I will make them. I will set them kisus hoidoy b'milchama as my glorified horse in war. This is a very scary pasuk because here Hashem is comparing the Jewish people to a horse. Okay, kisus hoidoy, like Hashem's glorious horse. Paro, Chazal tell us that the Egyptians are called Zimras Susim Zimrasam. When you want to give someone the ultimate insult is to call them a horse. Because the horse is shot of bezima. Horse, it's not Egypt was called the Ervas Haaretz. Egypt was a place where promiscuity was a way of life. There was absolutely no restraint. Okay, there's no restraint, there's no controls. Even in America, there are ratings. Everything is rated. There's parental guidance. There is, what do they call? They have all these different a whole system, a whole different system of letters indicating, giving guidance to parents if this material is appropriate for your children. Games, video games. Okay, even video games in America are rated. What kind of a theme does the video game present? There's a certain restraint. There are laws, at least on television. Internet is a very big problem. Even it's a very big problem, internet. So, but it used to be in the olden days. We all remember back in the day when there was television, there are certain laws, there are certain rules of what the stations are permitted to show. Egypt was not like that. There was no restraint. There was no restraint whatsoever. From the crib, you do whatever you want. It was called the Ervas Haaretz. And that is why they were enamored with the horse. Because from all of the different creatures, the horse is the creature that has absolutely no restraint when it comes to this matter. And that's why the pasuk says, when you want to talk about a person that has no restraint, they call the Zimras Susim Zimrasam. Zerem, the flow of their right, their flow of their zera, is of the. So the horse represents a creature that's symbolic. It's a metaphor for promiscuity, and it's a very shocking thing when it says here in the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to compare in a positive sense. Klal Yisrael is going to be a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's horse of glory. In times of Mashiach, Hashem is now going to come and to
say a bit that Paro's horse was Jewish.
Akiva, that's a joke, right? Akiva sus Paro. Okay, so this over here is a very interesting passage to say such thing, and we have to see more detail. But over here it says, V'sam o'sam, Hashem will set the Jewish people kisus hoidoy, like his glorious horse, v'amalchama in war. So you see, in order to show you, goes through that everything in this world has value. Alti baz l'chol adam, alti baz l'chol davar. There are certain things which are usually used as a metaphor for things that are horrible, that are distasteful, and we want to distance ourselves from. Yet even these objects have a redeeming quality. Everything in this world has a redeeming meaning. There's the same story, I think, with Rabbi Akiva, if I'm not mistaken. He was walking with the Talmidim, and they saw a dead dog, and there was a buzz of fleas over the carcass. And the Talmidim said, "This is disgusting." And Rabbi Akiva says, "But look how white its teeth are. Look at its teeth, the teeth of this dead carcass, the teeth of the dog. Everything has a redeeming quality. Alti buzz l'chol adam. Every human being. Every human being has a redeeming quality, and it's not proper to go and to discount and to reject anything. And here we have an example, a sus, which typically throughout Chazal is not looked up to be something very positive because of its midos, especially in the matter of arayos, and which is something which is extremely essential to yadus, kedoshim tiyu, kol makom shenema kedusha. It's a command that there should be a geder of arayos, and yet here La'asalava Kodesh Baruch Hu is using specifically the sus, its redeeming quality of its might, its power, its speed. We know today. I mean, how much people are betting millions of dollars on OTB. Hey, they're you know, on horses. There's something to it. Okay, there is a certain yoifi, a certain koyach in a horse. And that's what it says over here. We're focusing over here on the good quality. Let's go to next pasuk. Mimenu pindam, mimenu yaseit. From them, mimenu is a very beautiful pasuk. From the Jewish people, is the pina, is the cornerstone. This is a great word. Do you remember a while ago we discussed this thing about the cornerstone? And we actually, someone put online some images from a Google search about what is called a cornerstone. And it's not like what we think. We associate a pin as a cornerstone, but in an arch, there's a stone that goes on the very top in the center, and there are stones that are on the corner, stones. We have to put those pictures back again, go back to this topic. Okay, we today, in the secular world, we hear about the cornerstone, the laying of the cornerstone. In the corner of the building, they have a stone. Today, it's not even true. They put the stone wherever they want, and they just make a ceremony. But in Chazal, there's a lot more to it. It has a lot to do with the shar, the gate, the stone that is in the center of the lintel. Okay, which we'll come back to a little bit soon.
That time was called the keystone.
The keystone. Okay, the keystone.
When it's curved in the middle stone where everything rests on, that holds up the arch, that's the keystone.
It's the focus of pressure, the focus of the pressure point where everything depends on, and that's like the whole world is relying upon Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the keystone. It's the shar, it's a gate, and order, and all the stones are arranged in such a way where they rest, their pressure comes to that one point. Okay, let's see further. Mimenu, from the Jewish people, comes the pina. Mimenu yoseid. Yoseid is the foundation, the peg. We have to read these in the Farshim in a little bit more detail, where we'll see how different interpretations. Mimenu keshes milchama. They are the bow of war, a weapon. Mimenu, from them, yetze kol noges, yachtov, will come forth. All noges, no means to press. Usually the word noges is a negative word, which means to cause harm. But here it does not necessarily mean that. It means they are the ones that get things done. People that get things done. There are different interpretations. The Mitsudois Tsioin, the David, we'll just jump ahead for one moment, call Noikse Ho Umois, La Avoida Kulam Yachtov Yeitsu Mimenu. All of the tormentors of the Umois. Okay, we have to see in Farshim different interpretation of what this means. Let's just leave for one moment. They will be like mighty soldiers who are boisim. What does it mean boisim? They are trampling. Trampling in mud, chutzais, the mud outdoors, b'milchama, v'nilchamu, and they will fight, ki Hashem imam, Hashem is with them, v'hivishu rech v'susim, and they will conquer, they will overcome the enemy who rides upon horses. V'hivishu, over here, he translates them, so it seems to me they will bring shame, lashon of boshes. They will prevail, and they will put their enemies to shame. Pasuk Vav, v'gibarti espes Yehuda. We're taking the word gibor, and we're using it as a verb. I will cause the Jewish people to prevail. I will cause the Beis Yud to become a giborim. V'yesbeis Yosef oishia. And now we have a new term. This is something that is rare, to call the Jewish people Beis Yosef. We until now, in this Sefer, I don't think we ever used the word Beis Yosef. We almost never use Beis Yosef. We refer to Ephraim. Okay, the Malchus of Yisrael is called Ephraim. And we have the part of Hoye Beis Yaakov Le'esh U Beis Yosef Le'hova. Okay, that's in reference to Yosef. Yosef Atzadik. The theory refers to specifically to Yosef Mamish, to Yosef HaTzadik. Here we're referring to the Aseres HaShvatim, and we're calling them by a new title, the title of Yosef, instead of the ordinary title that we ascribe to Malchus of Yisrael, Ephraim. Let's hold off.
Mashiach ben Yosef.
Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Okay, Mashiach.
There had a Mashiach before. Mashiach ben Yosef.
Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. There are two Mashiachim. Okay, that's also a topic. Yeah. Right, that's another topic. Okay, let's see. Let's just run a few songs and we'll come back. And then the basis of Oshia v'hoshe v'osim, and I will cause them to return. I will cause them to. In the Mitzudot Sion, he translates this to mean I will give them peace. I will allow them to restore their souls. Hashkate, he says here, I'm reading the Mitzudot Tzion. This Himilim Urkeves, this is a compound, this is a composite of two words, Min Hoy Shava, Umin Yeshivas HaHashkate. It means tranquility. It means to return, and it means in tranquility, Miloshen Beshuva V'Nachas, to be at peace. After the war is over, the Jewish people will be at peace. They will return to their natural setting, to their land, and they will devote themselves to serve Hashem in a state of peace, tranquility, without always watching their back from their enemies. Why? Ki richamtim, Hashem says, I will show them compassion, v'hayu kasher lo zinachtim, and it will be as if they never strayed. Okay, the word zinachtim is also a great word. The Mitzudot Sion says, inyan aziva, to abandon. It will be in my eyes as if they have never done anything wrong. I will completely wipe it from the slate. So the word zinachtim means to abandon. It will be as if they never abandoned me. I will forgive them. I'll forget about that. Ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, I am Hashem your God. Sounds like Parashas Tetzaveh. The end of Shishi is ani Hashem Elokeihem, not Elokeichem. It's a little tricky. You lay in the parasha, get a little tricky there. Elokeihem, their name, I am Hashem your God. We have to figure out what exactly is the difference between the word ani Hashem Elokeichem, as we say in Kriya Shema, verse the expression ani Hashem Elokeihem. What's the difference? Their God, your God? What's the difference between their Elohim means their God? Elohim means your God. Your God.
Speaking to.
Yeah, but he's always speaking to us. That's the truth. The problem is, who is he speaking to? It's always the same. It doesn't really matter. In Parashat Tetzaveh, Ani Hashem Elohim. What would have been if it would have said,
he's speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu.
He's always speaking to Moshe. Every time in Kriya Shema, if it would have said in Kriya Shema, you would end of Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeihem, it wouldn't, it's the same thing. He's speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, you can wiggle it both ways. I know there's a different translation. Their God, your God. Their God is indirect. Hashem is speaking to a third party and is telling them, that third party, that I am the God of the Jewish people. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm speaking directly to you. The problem is, when you find these expressions, he's speaking, it doesn't matter, because whether he's speaking, there's an inconsistency, basically. If you were to exchange in Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, instead of Elokeichem, you wouldn't be upset. You would say, Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem is saying, tell them these mitzvahs, Da'aber el b'nei shel v'imart lehem v'yosu lehem tzitzis, speak to the Jewish people and tell them to make tzitzis, al kanfei v'gdehem, v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu, and the end of the pasuk says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher otzeisi eschem me'eretz, asher otzeisi eschem me'eretz mitzrayim. It's all the same, right? Hashem is not speaking directly to the Jewish people. Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is so terrible if it would have said Elokeichem? So why then did it say Elokeichem? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu captures the heart and soul of Klal Yisrael. So when Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, in essence, he is speaking directly to Klal Yisrael. And that's why more often than not it does say the word Elokeichem. Even though Hashem is not speaking directly to Klal Yisrael, he's speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu represents Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu will relay the words that Hashem gave over. So it's always the case, one way or another. So why then in some places does Hashem choose to use the word Elokeichem, whereas in other places Hashem chooses to use the word Elokeichem?
So this entire pasuk here is the Guf Shlishi. V'gibartim et Beit Yehuda ve'et Beit Yosef.
Right, okay. So the whole passage then. So you're right, absolutely. It's consistency. You're right, consistent. Absolutely. Correct. So the whole passage should be written then in the word, in the LOK. It should be written in that form. Okay, so this is something which needs understanding, which I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll see something. Hashem, to a certain degree, is removing himself. He is distancing himself when he chooses to speak in this form. And again, you can't tell me, oh no, that's proper grammar. It's not true, because there are so many other psukim where Hashem is speaking in the same manner. He's speaking to a Navi or to a Moshe, and he uses the term Elo, he uses the more direct form. So why in one place does he speak in this fashion? Why in another place does he speak in a different form? There must be a message. And it's very difficult to decipher what exactly that message is. Okay, next pasuk. In the name, and I will answer them. All right, let's do one more pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. V'hayu k'gibor Ephraim. Ephraim will be a gibor. Now notice, we're now going back to Ephraim. We've shifted from Beis Yosef. We're focusing now on referring to the Malchus of Yisrael as Ephraim. I will be k'gibor Ephraim. V'hayu k'gibor Ephraim. V'hayu k'gibor Ephraim. Ephraim will be like a gibor. V'samach libam kimo yoyin, their heart will rejoice like wine. Uvenehem yiru v'samechu, their children will see and will rejoice. Yogel libam b'Hashem, and their heart will rejoice in Hashem. Okay, we'll stop with that pasuk. The next pasuk is a very famous pasuk, and let's first get through these until we get to pasuk Ches. Let's go through these now with the mitzudos. With the Mitzudah, David Simon, Pasuk Gimel through Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudah, David Al Haroyim. Return to Lemar Ata Bevo Hagulo Chora Api Al Haroyim He Malchei Haumais Shehe Reu Lohem. The Mitzudah, David learns that the Royim here refers to the nations of the world, the leaders, the heads of state of the nations of the world. Typically, the shepherd, when it says shepherd, it refers to the Jewish leaders. And you can be certain that some of the Mefarshim are going to say the word Haroim here refers to the Jewish leaders. And it means that Hashem is going to punish the Nevi'ei Sheker, the false prophets that we had amongst us, and leaders that we had amongst the Jewish people who did not lead us with sincerity, who had their own agenda, agenda, and they caused the Jewish people great harm. But that's not how the Mitzudah Stavu wants to learn this word. And, and, and that he understands refers to the leaders of the nations of the world. If you remember the last pasuk we learned before this section, we made mention of a shepherd, and the shepherd there refers to the leader of the Jewish people. Zechariah is complaining that we do not have a shepherd. We are ki ein roeh, that we in the past, the reason why we suffered and we failed and we sinned and ultimately we suffered by going in, by being punished with exile, was because we did not have strong, good Jewish leadership. Ki ein roeh, there was no one guiding us. And the very next pasuk says, Al horoim chorapi, upon the shepherds I will express my anger out. My anger is kindled. So you expect that if in the previous pasuk the word royeh refers to the Jewish leaders, and the very next pasuk says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to express his anger over the shepherds, it's the same shepherds, the shepherds of the Jewish people. Yet the Metzudas David does not want to go down that path. Obviously, he holds that being that there is a break of a samach, of a parsha stuma, we're now discussing a new section, and this section has nothing to do with the previous section. And here we are describing Yemos HaMashiach, and we're going to discuss what is going to happen to the leaders of the world for their role in causing us harm. And he does just that. Next, the next words of the pasuk in the Mitzvot David are V'al ho'atudim al sore humois eskar avoinam l'shalem gemul. Same thing, it's poetic repetition. The word ho'atudim means the male goats which go in the front of the flock. They take the lead. They are looked up to by the sheep as the leaders, their own leaders. And these leaders, referring here, according to the Mitzudos, are the leaders of the nations of the world. And they have caused us harm. Next, ki fokad, ki zoch Hashem es edroi. Hashem, the time has come for Hashem to bring redemption. Hashem remembers his flock, the Jewish people. Who are the people? Heim beis Yehuda. Linkoim nikmasam yarumais to take revenge, to avenge their tormentors. Kisus hodo bamulchama be'es yilochamu yosim Hashem osim amitzei levav. When Hashem will fight with them, Hashem will make them strong in heart. Kimo hasus hamare hodoi v'yetzei likras neshek, goes out to its weapon. Now, who over here is the who here is the sus? So I told you when we translated the words, it refers to Klal Yisrael. Was I correct? I'm certainly one of the Mepharshim is going to say this, but is that what the Mitzvot really says? Again, he says Kisus Hoidoi Bamuchamah Be'es Yilochamu. At the time they go to battle, Yosim Hashem Oisam, Hashem will set them, will inspire them, encourage them to be Amitzei Levav, strong in heart. Who is Hashem inspiring? Klal Yisrael to fight back, or is Hashem giving the enemy power to bring about their downfall? He's lifting them up to destroy them. I don't know. Maybe what the Mitzvot David means, because of the question that we started with, that it's not a nice thing to compare a Jew to a horse, after Chazal over and over tell us that a horse is not a very holy creature, and it's not a mid of a Jew to be mole gaiva like a horse. There are many, many bad qualities of a horse. So maybe what the Mitzvot is trying to say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Mashiach will strengthen the heart. Vayichabed Hashem et slav Paro. Just like Hashem strengthened the heart of Paro to refuse to listen to the message of Moshe, to let the Jewish people go. And that was all for the purpose of elevating him to bring about a more magnificent defeat. Maybe that's exactly what it means over here as well. The subject of the beautiful horse is the enemy. The enemy is being given strength. The enemy is being given is being encouraged. Why? The more mighty the enemy is, the more magnificent will be his defeat. Okay, is that what I'm not sure? I'm not sure if that's what he means to say. Go back to the pasuk. Alaroim, because according to the stavet, everything over here in this pasuk refers to the enemy, meaning the leaders, the heads of state of the nations. Hashem is angry. V'yal ha'atudim efkoid kifok, and on the leaders of the nations. Another term for the leaders. Kifokar Hashem tzivakos es edroi es beis Yehuda. And now, in order to save the Jewish people, he's first going to elevate the enemy, v'som v'som. He's going to make our enemy, he's going to encourage them. Let's see further. Pasuk Dalid, mimenu fina. What does the word fina mean? Fina means a corner. We usually use this word as a cornerstone, but that's a borrowed term. Well, it's not so. We say the evin pina. We don't say call the pina, we call the even pina, the cornerstone. Pina just means the corner. Mimenu fina, miyuhuda yiye hamelech hameshubach ba'am. He will be the most, from Yehuda will come forth the most glorious king. Kemoho even hahusam bepinas habayis, shehu hameshubach shebekulam al kihu nire mishnei hatzdodim. Notice that he's calling the even pina, not the stone, the keystone. He is calling the Evan Pina Pshutoi Kimashmo, the cornerstone. And he's telling us an explanation. Why is the cornerstone so significant? Because it doesn't matter which direction. If you're going in Avenue L or you're traveling down Ocean Avenue, you see it. If you don't put the stone in the corner, you're only going to see the stone on the side of the street which you travel. If you put the stone on Avenue L, if you're traveling down Ocean Avenue, you will not see the stone. If you put the stone along the side of Ocean Avenue, and then you choose to travel down Avenue L, you're not going to see the stone. The only way you will see the stone from both sides is if you put the stone in the corner. So the corner stone gets more attention. It's like a corner house. Some people prefer to purchase a home on the corner. Why? I guess they want to be where all the action is. You get to see what's going on. You look out your window, you can see all the action. And other people, just the opposite. They wouldn't for the life of them buy a home on the corner because they want peace and quiet. They don't want to hear all the sirens and all the activity. You know. So, but the cornerstone has the mila that you get to see it all. You're a busybody. You're a macher. The macher is like to buy a home on the corner. I don't understand that. One thing I never understood is how do you shovel the snow if you live in a home on the corner? How in the world do you shovel the snow? It's impossible.
You hire somebody.
It's not so easy to find someone just when you need them. Just when you need them,
well,
they should appear.
When you have a corner house, you have a snow blower.
I guess so. There's no other way. I always marvel at people who are on the corner, even the Yonkel Avenue J. Alan Gross here, he must know good and well that when it snows, the corner shul, the shul's on the corner. When it snows, there's a lot of shoveling to be done. This is not a simple matter. Okay, so over here, we're saying that the Yehuda is going to be the most choshuv. And we are, have a metaphor. We're calling Yehuda like the Evan Pina. He is the king that everyone relates to. Everyone relates to because just like the corner, everyone sees from both sides. Everyone relates to this individual, the Melech HaMashiach. He is the I'm on the first white line. The Chalosh Nazeh Nemar, Al Yisrael B'chlolim, Kamash Nemar, Even Moasu HaBoinim, Hoysa L'Roish Pina. The Jewish people are the cornerstone of this world. What does that mean? So the Mitzudah Stavr indirectly is teaching us a new pshat that I never thought of, never heard of this pshat, is everyone needs them. Everyone in the world relates to them. I always thought it meant, oh, the Jewish people, Evan Moasu HaBoinim, throughout history, the Jews are despised. They're spit upon. I just saw this morning a clip where they threw off a chosid from an airplane. You see this clip? They threw him off because this two-year-old wasn't wearing a mask. All right, fine. He wasn't wearing a mask.
A 15-month-old.
So they threw the kid, they threw him off. So they threw him off. Was he right? Was he wrong? None of my business. But after they threw him off, they have video of the flight attendants giving each other a high five. Yeah, we got rid of the Jew. We got rid of him. We got rid of him. It's pretty bad, because what would have been if there would have been an African American who had a 15-month child that wasn't wearing a mask, and they threw him off, and then after they threw off the African American, they would say high five. We got rid of the Schwarze.
Okay,
you know what would have happened? They would have burned down the airport. Okay, the airport would have been burned down, been raised to the ground. If they would have high five, oh, we got rid of the Schwarze. We got rid of him. But when they got rid of the Jew, the Chassid, even if he's 100%, I don't even know, even if he was 100% wrong and it was a massive Chil Hashem, which I don't know, I'm just making up. Led to is a massive Chil Hashem. You go high five each other and celebrate. We got rid of the Jew. It's very telling where we're holding in this world. It's very telling. All right, but over here
I just wanted to mention the difference between Elokeichem and Elokeichem is very. I once said before. Usually Elokeichem means the mitzvos that are pertinent to a Jew. Elohim is the mitzvahs that are pertinent to the world.
Mankind.
Mankind. And that's what you see. If you take a look in Achor Moshe Kedoshim, it rings true every time it says Ani Hashem, because a lot of sukkim end like that. Over here, the focal point is in Tetzaveh, it's talking about Olas Tamid, or so you Olas Tamid, or Dorol Seichem, Pesach Orom Oveid. And Olasta, what do you call it? Bein Arba'im K'minchas HaBokeh Nus Kotah says. So the Mefarshim say very simply, we as opposed to them, if you believe in the sun, so it appears on the surface that when we bow down in the morning facing east, that maybe we're bowing down to the sun. But in the evening, we're still bowing down to the east with our backs to the sun, because the sun is in the west. The Goyim don't.
Very
that's what the Parsha Tetzav is talking about.
Fascinating.
About the carbon Olas Tamid, the Olas HaBokeh, and it says you do the same thing in the afternoon. And the reason the Pasuk says, the wording in the Pasuk says, the same way you do it in the morning, the same way you do it in the afternoon, because it's not the sun that we're following. And that's what it's saying over here as well. It has to do with Avodah Zarah. That we don't
Mashiach is for the world. It's for mankind.
It's a worldwide thing.
We take the lead.
So it's Elohim. It's a conclusion for everybody. This is, there are certain mitzvos that are for the world.
Excellent. Killing, you're saying a very, very big yisoid. You're saying a very powerful yisoid. Here,
right. Tzitzis in Ani Hashem Lokechem, it's talking about
only for the Jewish people. All the mitzvahs are only for us, but there are certain mitzvahs that we do where we represent the world. It's a mitzvah only for us, but the mitzvah captures an element that everyone in the world connects to. Look, the Beis Hamikdash.
That's brought down in Yecheskel. It says Yecheskel and Perikhes. Not Perikhes, but Pasukhes and the Perik there in Yecheskel. He brings down also a Pasuk that sort of indicates that same idea, but nevertheless, that's the way I see it. He doesn't spell it out exactly, but he sort of intimates in Parshas Tetzaveh, the Abar Benel, he intimates that we bow down to the east regardless. It maybe appears to certain. So we're trying to tell the Jews, since they just came out of Mitzrayim, now they'll understand that even though it appears that we're bowing down to the sun in the morning, we're putting our backs to the sun at night. And that's how you'll know that God is God.
Excellent, excellent. I thought you would say go even further, because the Beis Hamikdash, ki beisi beis tefilah l'chol ho'anim. And what are they bringing? The Talmud is an oila. A non-Jew can only bring a carbon oila.
Right.
And perhaps the pasuk is alluding that the bring of the Talmud in the Shachar, in the Bein Arba'im, it's true that we pay for it. It's our avodah, but it is the basic element of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the constant of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash is Ki Beisi Beis Tefilo L'chol Ho'amim. This is something universal. The Avoida of the Tamid Shal Shach and the Tamid Shal Ben Harboyim, it's not just for Klal Yisrael, it's for the entire world. Of course, primarily it's for us, and we're the ones who do it, but it has all the elements. It's the most basic carbon, and it's carbon oila, which the non-Jews relate to. So right. It's appropriate to say the term Elokei Hem, which right. You're saying is a nuance. It's not just you. It's everyone. Look at this mitzvah as a universal. Beautiful idea you're saying. This is an incredible idea. Sorry, fantastic.
This is absolutely...
You got to write this down.
What the Abarbanel says, I was looking on this pasuk in the thing, what the Abarbanel says is a whole different thing. When he says, Ki ani Hashem Elohei Hem, it's not talking to Bnei Yisrael now at all, or Umos Ha'olam. It's talking about the Avos. That's why it says, so if you'll pray to the Avos, Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov, and their name. If you pray to, of course, I'm their God. In other words, when he's saying their God, it's the God of the Avos and their name. Because you have no chusim on your own. In other words, you're in trouble now. So this is where if you want to pray to the Avos, their name.
Very interesting. Excellent. Very, very interesting. Okay, let's go further.
That's what he says.
Okay, yeah. Let's move ahead. Okay, many of y'all said, now we go over here. So if Evan Moasu, I wanted to do, so I always understood this to mean, let's move back to this other idea. Evan Moasu, Haboinim, Haitzel, Rosh Pina. The Jewish people throughout history have been despised. They're looked down upon, were spit upon. The day will come, the Evan Moasu, Haboinim, the builders, that looked down upon, Haitzel, Rosh Pina. So what did that mean? It became a celebrity. We became celebrities. We became Choshev. Just like when you have the cornerstone, the cornerstone laying ceremony, it's the center of attention. So the Jewish people will be choshuv. The Mitzudas David is teaching us some different. That's not the pshat. I think not to say that's not the pshat, but there's another pshat. It means everyone takes note. It's something which everyone takes note of, no matter where you come from, no matter what angle. You are entering from, you take note of this cornerstone. Because the cornerstone, being that it sits at the corner, the people who travel in this direction can identify it, and the people who travel in the other direction can also identify it. Every single living creature in this world, no matter where they come from, whatever angle they approach this world, whatever hashkafa, they have to acknowledge Klal Yisrael is the core. They are the ones who got it. And it's only through them can they find their own place and achieve their own unique mission in this world. It's not just a matter of hashivas. It's a matter of identity. It's a matter of awareness, acknowledgement. Evim Moasu Haboinim, what do? You throw it in the garbage. No one ever sees it, no one knows about it. It's in a landfill somewhere. Hoysel Rosh Pina, we are on their radar screen in a good way. Not about having choshev. That's not the issue. It's utility. We are a tool for the whole world so that they can find a purpose in life and fulfillment in their existence. That's what the Mitzvah Stavit is teaching us. Not everything in this world is about kavod. There are some practical things also in this world. Okay, what's more chashuv, kavod or money? My rabbi once asked me this question, what's more chashuv? I got the answer in a second. I told him, covet. He thought for sure I was going to say money. I said, covet. Of course, covet is more chashuv. People pay money to buy covet. You don't see anyone give up covet for money. People are willing to spend millions of dollars for covet. So it goes to show that covet is more chashuv. A person first needs money. You work hard and you earn money. And then when you have the money, what do? you buy kavod. So you see that kavod is the greatest commodity in this world. But the truth is, it's not. It's make-believe. The greatest commodity in this world is by far is time. That's the greatest commodity, time. People spend, if you have money, what do you buy with money? You buy time. And what do you do with that time? You use that time to live, to do what's important. For some people, avodas Hashem, other people, family, time. Time is really truly the most valuable commodity, which sometimes you need money to buy time. That's a fact. Let's go further. We have over here the peanut.
By the way, the Evan Masua Bonim, David HaMelech understood it very well, because he was a Haratzon. All his brothers were called there to see.
Despised him. They wanted to kill him.
Well, another one. Yeah, he's there. Yeah,
but he was a mamzer. They believed he was a mamzer. They really believed that his mother was Mizaneh. His mother committed adultery. That's why they sent him out to the field. They were hoping that he would get killed. They sent him to the front lines with the lions. They couldn't wait until he would be devoured. One day, there was an accident. Guess what? There was an accident. Oh, an accident? What happened? David was going, terrible. Oi. They couldn't wait for that. They were waiting every day for that to happen. That's what it says in the Medrash. And lo and behold, he comes back holding in his hand the head of the lion. Look what I got. What? That wasn't the plan. The plan was the lion should come back with your head, not you should come back with the head of the lion in your hands. Things didn't work out for the brothers. Okay. And then when Shmuel came and he went, who's Neged Mashiachai Hashem, right? And who's the Mashiach? The older they went and all the brothers. And then he said to them, you got another brother maybe? Any more people from Bnei Yishai? This is the Mamzer. You want the Mamzer? There's the Mamzer. And lo and behold, he was the Melech HaMashiach. He wasn't a Mamzer. We know the whole story. The whole story with the Shifra. The Shifra. Can I ask the whole story? Not for now. Let's go further. Mimena Yosei. Zeh Haloshon Yoimar Al HaPokid Umemune Shehakol Tolui Boi V'chei Nemar HaBakoyen Gadol HaMemune Al HaBayis Use Kativ Yosei B'mokom Neman. Now, this is the makar of the newspaper, and it's grammatically incorrect. It's amazing. Someone told this to me. I don't know anything about grammar, but he told this to me. This pasuk is a very good pasuk. This pasuk says, let's read the pasuk, we'll go backwards. Usekativ yosed, you will insert. Usekativ means you will thrust. You will thrust into the ground. We'll use, that's not a little translation, but that's what it means in this context. You will thrust into the ground a yosed, a peg. A peg? B'mokoyim ne'eman, in a place that is faithful. What do we mean? In earth, that the peg will be anchored. Well, if you put a peg in sand, what's going to happen? The tent's going to fly away in the wind, because sand does not have the properties of keeping the peg anchored well deep down. What they do in the Mishkan, you know, in the Mishkan was in Saudi Arabia. There was only sand in Saudi Arabia. How did they keep the Mishkan anchored to the ground? Ever wonder about that? How, if it's true, Mayor, you're the one who taught me this, is that Klal Yisrael traveled 40 years in Saudi Arabia. If that's really true, they traveled 40 years in Saudi Arabia, there's only sand. So how then did they anchor the Mishkan in the sand?
Bags of sand. They use the
sandbags. Sandbags, right? But this doesn't say that. It says in the pasuk they had pegs.
It doesn't say that there wasn't sandbags tied to the pegs.
Who knows? But there is a principle on this pasuk makes it very clear that if you want to go you want to set up a tent, you have to have pegs. We know that Devorah, she killed Sisera by taking the peg of the tent and she thrust it into the head of Sisera. Violence. So this peg goes into the ground, but the ground has to be hard. It has to be a certain type of quality earth in that the peg will be strongly anchored into the ground. So here we have the word Yosed. And here we have the Melech HaMashiach. And we're calling him a Yosed. We're calling him a peg, which in what's unique about this idea is that the peg needs earth. Ein melech beloi am. There's no such thing as a king without a nation. You can't just walk around the street and get dressed up in a Purim costume and declare yourself the melech Achashverosh with a nice purple robe and dots and put on a crown. You're a laughingstock. Because no one is your follower. You don't have any followers. In order to be a king, you have to have an am. A yosed, a peg, needs a makom ne'eman. A peg needs to be thrust into an environment that's willing to accept it and willing to strongly anchor it. If the earth...
There were mountains where they were.
Okay, whatever, fine, whatever. We don't really know. Okay. All right, okay. It has to be, right? It has to be whatever it was. But generally, we all do know good and well that if you go to the beach and you stick in a peg, it's not going to work. If it's raining, if it's muddy outside and the earth is too soft, it's not going to work. If the earth is too hard, it's also not going to work. The people, you need just the right type of Goldilocks. Not too soft, not too hard. Just right. The Melech HaMashiach is a Yosed. The Yosed needs to be anchored in earth, in an environment that accepts him and holds him tight, anchors him. Klal Yisrael needs to be roi, deserving, eligible, has to be conditioned properly in order to properly anchor the Yosed, the Melech HaMashiach. It's a very beautiful mashal to compare the Melech HaMashiach to a Yosed. And the Pasuk actually makes this point elsewhere where it says, Usikativ, I will thrust the Yosed where? Bimokoyim ne'eman, in a faithful place. And the Mitzvah that's done here very beautifully explains that's the pshat in this Pasuk. One more time, the words. It says, Yemeni Yuzeh HaLoshon Yomar Alapokid, on an officer, Umimune Shakol Toliboy, an officer, a leader of the Jewish people, the Chenem B'Kohen Gadol, Hamun HaBayis. That's what it's about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol also what it says, Uskativ Yosed B'Mokoyim Ne'eman. Now, I don't know grammar. I'm going to ask Rav Kalman to help me with this. So someone told me, many, many years ago, Rav Kalman, are you there? You tell me if this is true. He says, there's a newspaper. Everyone knows it's called the Yated. The Yated. What's the Yated? The Yated is, it's not called the Yated, it's called the Yated Ne'eman. Everyone just refers to it by its first word, the Yated. But really, it's if you look at the newspaper, it says the Yosed Ne'eman. Yated in Hebrew, I guess, in how they pronounce it in Israel, the Yated Ne'eman. That's what the paper is called. So a fellow said to me, this is Groisa Amaratzus. Rav Kalman, come you there, you tell me if this what I'm saying is true. I mentioned before, why is it Groisa Amaratzus to call the newspaper the Yated Ne'eman? Because they took the word Yated Ne'eman from this pasuk. In this pasuk it's Usikativ, I will thrust the Yosed, the peg, B'mokoyim Ne'eman. So he said in this pasuk, the word Ne'eman is modifying the word Makom. Makom. Makom is Lashon Zohar. Ne'eman is Lashon Zohar. So in this Pasuk, when the Pasuk is written in its fullness, in its full glory, then it's correct. Usikativ Yosed, I will thrust the peg where? Bimakom Ne'eman. But if you want to shorten the Pasuk and omit two words, the word usikativ, and you want to get rid of the word makom, and you want to put together the word yosed ne'eman, then the subject of the word ne'eman is going back on the word yosed. And this fellow said to me, check it out. Yosed is feminine. So it should be the yosed ne'emanah. Rav Kalman, is there any truth to that? So this fellow said to me that this is an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael that someone can make a newspaper and call it the Yated Ne'eman based upon this pasuk and strip out the word Bamakom and preserve the form Ne'eman and not the word Ne'emanah. If you have the whole pasuk, then you're right. Makom is Zohar And then Neman is Zohar, it's correct. But if you're going to take out the word Makom and you're going to put the two words together, Yosed, then it should not be Yosed Neman, it should be the Ated Ne'emonah. Now, I'm an Amoritz, so is there any truth to that? Yosed is feminine? I don't know, it could be both ways. No, can it be also Zohar, Yosed? I can't hear, Rav Kalman, you're on mute. You have to unmute yourself. Rav Kalman, you're on mute. Rav Kalman, you're on mute.
By Sisra, she says, "Vatitka ehu perakato." So it's Zachar. Vatikach et yetzad ha'ohel vatitka ehu.
Vayisko ehu, she thrust it.
It. So it's Zachar.
Okay, then they're right. So it's not. So then okay. This person is a very big. The person who knows this is a very smart. There must be some. Maybe there's more to it. I'm making a mistake. Or maybe he's making a mistake. I don't know. We have to be ma'ayin into this more.
Who cares about dictum?
But it's interesting. It's very dangerous. When you start taking psukim and you start chopping them up, the name of the newspaper clearly comes from this pasuk. It's a very popular newspaper. It's a very popular newspaper. There are two. There's the Israeli version, and the American version has absolutely nothing to do with the Israeli. They just bought the name. When they first started, about 100 years ago, I remember when it first started. It was a big sensation because in those days the only game in town was the Jewish press. There was nothing to read but the Jewish press and the Jewish Observer, and the Jewish press and the Jewish Observer have nothing in common. By the way, they had nothing in common. That was before there was Mishpacha and Ami and Bina and another million other magazines and all Jewish reading material. It was all in the Jewish press, and all of a sudden one day there was like a little teeny pamphlet. It was maybe 5 pages, the whole thing, called the Ated Neman. And they had also Hebrew, because I think they had a license from the Israeli Ated. Eventually, they broke off entirely, and it's completely independent, and they don't have anything in Hebrew. There's nothing in Hebrew in the Ated. They used to have a whole Hebrew section from the Israeli version. For decades, they don't have that anymore. And then came the Hamodia, but they took this term from this pasuk, but they left out a word. And when you left out that word, now you're changing the meaning of the expression. And at least here we learn today that this pasuk here teaches a new principle, that the word Yosed is used in reference to the Melech HaMashiach. The pasuk where they took it from refers to the Kohen Gadol. Usekativ Yosed b'makom ne'eman is a reference to the Kohen Gadol. We are taking that pasuk, according to the Mitzudos, we are borrowing from its concept, applying it to Zechariah, where we're using the word Yosei to refer to the Melech HaMashiach. And there's a powerful Musar Haskel, is that a Yosei needs an environment where it can cleave, it can be strongly anchored. Mashiach cannot come to Klal Yisrael if we are not conditioned, we are not able to anchor him, to receive him. If we're not going to be able to receive him and allow him to be firmly anchored, then there's no purpose in him coming. If we are like sand or mud or water or something too hard, hard rock, then the Yosed doesn't fit. It's just not going to work. Let's go further. Next Mitzudah Stavit. Mimenu keshes milchama. Ritzayin
loymar. I thought the reference to Yosed was Melech Yehuda, to the Shevet Yehuda, as opposed to Shevet Yisrael. In other words, as opposed to the Aseres Hashvatim. It said, Robes Yehuda, V'sham, V'sam Osam Kisus Hodo Bamilchamem.
Okay, right. But he writes,
It's going to come from Malchus Yehuda.
Right, he writes here, Zeh HaLoshon Yom Al HaPokid, on the officer. So I'm assuming since over here that we're referring to Yehuda, and now we're referring to the Yosef, it means the leader of Yehuda. The leader of Yehuda is the Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach ben David.
That's
seemingly what he's saying. He's saying over here that we have, the pasuk says Yehuda. Mimenu, we have here Yehuda. Back to the pasuk. Pasuk Mimenu, from the pasuk before, says, Ki fokar Hashem tzevokos es edroi. Who is this edroi? Es base Yehuda. Yehuda is his edroi. And then it says, V'sam oisam, he will set them kisus hodo b'milchama. Either it means, Pasha Pshad, it means that Hashem is going to encourage the Malchus of Yehuda to be a glorious horse. Let's leave it with that. And now it goes on to say, Mimenu, from the Malchus of Yehuda will come forth the Fina. The whole world will turn to them. The whole world will relate, will connect to them from all angles. Mimenu Yosed, from Yehuda will come forth the Pokid, the officer, the one that will lead. Just like the word the Pina refers to the Kohen Gadol elsewhere, here when it says from Yehuda, refers to the leader of Yehuda, which is Mashiach ben David. Okay, let's finish up. We'll hear the next words of the Mitzvah David. Mimenu kashas mulcham, our return to Laimar, loichamim mulchamtoi, yiyu mimenu, the people who fight, the officers who go out to war, will come from you. Devolo yitztarich le'ezra ezras umas. That is a very Zionistic, this is a very Zionistic pasuk. You want to be a real Zionist? Here you go. It says, see, that they'll have their own army. The Israelis will have their own IDF. It sounds more like it's an offensive force, not a defensive force. But they'll have their own army. They don't have to go hire mercenaries, go have America fight their wars for them. We'll take care of it ourselves. We have our own people. Next, Kol Noiges Yachta. Now this is a little bit more difficult. Kol noik sehu umois la'avoda, kulom yachtav yetsu mimenu. All of those who are, noges means to press. It means to conquer, to afflict. It says this word, lo yiye loik, by the parasha of when you lend someone money, it says, there's another word there in that pasuk as well. I think it says the word yigos, lo yigos. Don't oppress. It means to oppress. Don't come back every single day and say, where's my money? I lend you $100. Where is my money? If you don't give me my money, I'm going to beat you up. The mafia. Don't be an oppressor. Here he writes, kol nog sehu umos la'avoda, all of the oppressors of the nations, la'avoda, kulam yachtav, all of them together, yetsu mimenu, will come forth from him. I'm sorry, I don't know what this means. I really don't know what he means to say. Let's leave it. We'll learn the other mefarshim, we'll certainly have clarity in what he means over here. What he's trying to say, that mimenu, he has to mean over mimenu, from the Jewish people, from the Malchus of Yehuda, will come forth, kol noges yachtav. The people that are going forth for avoda. What do you mean for avoda? What avoda? Called noksehu umais. All of the oppressors of the nations of the world, lo avoda. Kulam yachtav yetsu mimenu. All right, let's hold off. We'll see Rashi. We'll see Elma Farshim. There's no question. We'll figure this out. Bli neder.
Unkelus said panasohi noges.
From them will come forth providers together. Providers. All the workers of the world called Noksehu Umos Lavoda. The Jewish people will become employers. That's what it's saying over here. All of the nations of the world will become our workers. Is that what he's trying to say? That if you want a job, where is a job fair? In Jerusalem. Why are you going to Yerushalayim? Job fair. I'm looking for a good job. Because the Jews, they are the employers of the entire world. They have all the jobs. They have all the products. They have all the services. And if you want a good job, you have to go to a Jew to ask them for a good job. Because they have all the ingenuity. They're all the entrepreneurs. They have all the seed money for funding. Something like that. Okay, that's what it seems to say. Is that the koyach of Parnasa, the power of Parnassus, will come forth from Klal Yisrael. So the word noges then means, mimenu yetze kol noges, means a worker. A worker. I don't know how the word noges turns into a worker. We have to figure that out. All people who want work, they will achieve that goal through mimenu, through the Jewish people. Next, let's know one more quick pasuk. Pasuk hey, v'hayu they will be chigibarim, ritzayna leimar, im ki hem chaloshim, yu ki chigibarim. Even though the Jewish people are very, by nature, very weak, they'll be very powerful. Harayim sim es oyev, that will trample upon the enemy, b'molchama, b'sechatit, hamushlach, b'chutzos, in the mud, ונלחמו בצנלמר אם שאינם מלומדי מלחמה אם כל זה ילחמו כדרך אנשי מלחמה even though they're not experienced they will still be successful in war כי השם עמהם והוא ילמד ידם לקרב אצבעותם למלחמה השם will train them how to fight how to succeed in battle והיבישו they will put them to shame אם כי הם יהיו אנשי רגלי יביישו את האויב רכבי חסוסים כי יסגרו עליהם. Even the Jewish people are not familiar with all of this technology, they'll learn very quickly what to do, and they will put their enemies to shame. Vav, okay, Vav already is really no. Alright, we'll leave this. It's very late, so we'll leave this for tomorrow. We'll leave this mitsudoy stavish for tomorrow. We'll take a very short break, and then I want to go talk about a couple of topics today about the parasha. There's a collection of.